A62. Number 25B.
Can I do it?
Yes.
And actually, it is always so that it's always good, say, to have sometimes a very concrete situation or problem in front of your mental eye, so that then usually it flows much better and perhaps is more adapted to just a specific case, and not just always to the preventive art of Christian Science. Yes. I try, if I can, keep to the strict and narrow, because as I said, the moment one gets into the use and the flow of the tonality of it, one sometimes spells it out already a bit more warmer, rounder. So, all right, here I go. Let's say we have a sense of influence that troubles us. Whatever that influence is, we feel somehow the atmosphere of an evil influence around us, and so we sit back and just feel what is happening in reality. And in reality, there is just one thing going on, and that's the divine mind influencing me and everybody and everything. And there is in the whole universe no other influence. And this is the beautiful thing, that I can see that everything, the whole world and me, is under the terrific influence of the power of mind. That power of mind just pours down upon me and the universe as one terrific influence that uses all its power, all its action, all its potency, and just has a terrific influence and impact on everything that is happening in my universe. Therefore, I can see that there is no other power in the whole world that can touch me in any way, because it cannot influence me, cannot influence anything in my life. No detail of my life can be touched by the influence of any other power, no power of will, power of a human will, of a personal will, of an authoritative will, of an autocratic will, of any kind of will that can ever influence me and come into me and change anything within me. Because in that terrific mind that influences every little part of the whole world and of my every being, there is just that terrific influence of the divine intelligence, knowing exactly what to do, therefore exercising that intelligent, knowable influence so that it influences every action of my being. Therefore, I can see no other intelligence, no other knowledge, no other wisdom, no other opinion can in any way come in and influenced me to do the wrong thing, to do something that is not enlightened by the influence on the vision of mind. And so I can see that actually under the law of mind, I am under the influence of the lawful activity, the lawful power of the whole universe of mind. Therefore, only ideas of mind can influence me. There is nothing else, no human mind, no mortal opinion, no mortal thought can in any way come in and influence my activities, my thought, my vision, my thinking, my inspiration. Nothing can be influenced by the human mind. I go to spirit and I begin to see that under the influence of spirit, everything unfolds harmoniously, everything unfolds in the order of spirit, everything evolves and develops, in the absolute order of spirit. This is the only thing that comes to me and influences my ordered activity. Because I can see that neither organic matter, nor the flesh, nor material law can in any way influence the ever-unfolding of my life. And so I begin to see something terrific, namely that only the influence of spirit can bring forth within me that child that needs to be born. That influence of the spirit that bloweth where it listeth can bring forth the birth of the true idea, the pure idea. Therefore, I have never been under the influence of parental birth, of parental obstetrics. Therefore, I have never been under the influence of prenatal situation, of birth conditions, of pre-birth condition, of birth condition, of after-birth condition. All that whole stuff of the fleshly birth could never influence me in any way possible. And this makes me feel that therefore the influence of the substance of spirit is ever at work within me. It is always supplying everything that I need. And only that terrific influence of the purity of spirit enables me that no impure influence, no material influence can touch me in any way possible. And therefore I feel that under that influence of soul, I am what I am. Only because I stand under that naming of principle, who identifies me with what I am, who knows me as what I am, only because of that terrific influence to name me what I am divinely, I am what I am. And so, all the influence of personal sense, mortal sense, naming me wrongly, identifying me wrongly, just has nothing in me. It finds no abiding place in me. And so I can see that from everlasting to everlasting, the unchangeable identity of my divine being is the only influence that works within me and therefore overturns and overturns and overturns until that identity is brought out which is divinely right. So I can see that this influence of soul is at work as a reforming power, as an exchanging power, exchanging what has to be exchanged, and therefore tenderly and lovingly exchanging and translating to me everything that I need. This is the blessing influence of soul. And so I begin to see at that point that as only soul names me and identifies me through its infinite impact and influence, that only principles influence as science will ever touch me, will ever be coming to me and enlighten my consciousness. Because the influence of principle says, I am only influencing you with a scientific consciousness, with no other consciousness. Therefore, the whole influence of the divine categories of being, of the system of being, is just constantly coming to me and knocking at my consciousness and say, here I come, I bring you the system of principle. Therefore, all the theories in the world cannot influence me in my decision in any way, in shape and form. All the dogmas, the theories, the opinions of the world, of people, they just don't influence me anymore in the slightest. They have no abode in me. They cannot come to me and do anything with me. And so I begin to see that under that enormous influence of the scientificalness and systematic harmony of principle, only the harmony of being is established in me. That only that influence of a scientific attitude does establish within me the harmonious state of thing, and therefore establishes within me a scientific consciousness. In this way, I feel that principle's influence is apodictical, is absolute, is imperative, and that there is no other influence that can be working on me in an autocratic, in a powerful, in a dictatorial way. So I feel when this divine principle is the only principle bringing out in me the system of principle, that through that system the influence of life can come and bring out within me the infinite newness of life. It's therefore I feel that I stand under the influence of the spontaneity of life, of the newness of life, of the mutation of life, of the fullness of life, and it just pours down and floods me with that terrific influence of infinite supply, of infinite new ideas, of infinite new vision, of infinite new inspiration. And I just feel that the newness of life as really the genealogy, the geniusness of life is influencing my very core, so that only that divinely fixed individuality in being influences my only being, and there is no more any other idiosyncrasies that can influence me in any way and deform my individuality, that could somehow rob me of my individuality, that could take away my individuality. No, there is no such influence of any distorted individuality. And so I begin to feel that only the infinite isness is coming to me and influencing me with a timeless sense. So I feel that I stand under that terrific influence of the eternality of life, giving me eternal life, giving me the vision of eternal life, giving me the vision that I see that I cannot be influenced by decay, by death, by age, by decrepitude, or anything like that. That this has no impact, no influence on me. It finds nothing in me. And so I begin to see that because this infinite individuality of life is constantly influencing me, that influence brings out the true man in me. So the influence of truth, consciousness, is constantly bringing out within me, awakening within me, the true standard of manhood. And that gives me a sense that I stand under the eternal influence of the Christ consciousness working out within me the eternality of man, the standard and manhood of Christ within me. It is that influence which is so strong that it rejects everything that is erroneous within me, that overcomes everything that is erroneous in me, so that mortal manhood, that which is unjust, not right, has no influence on me and cannot come into me nor abide with me, nor execute its influence in me. It has no abode within me. And this gives me a sense that actually I'm operating under the infinite plane of love, where love just wants to bring out within me all that is good. And so I feel within the field of influence of that one plane, guiding everything, ordering everything, identifying everything, systematizing everything, individualizing everything, bringing out the true consciousness of everything, so that only the influence of that whole plane of love is actually going to fulfill itself within me. And I don't feel any more the influence of an enemy, of an inimical power. I don't feel that anything like hate, fear, revenge, malice, injustice is ever going to influence my action, is ever going to influence my development, is ever going to influence my identity, my true namehood, my true name, is ever going to influence my scientific research, is ever going to influence my individuality, my eternality of life, is ever going to influence my consciousness, my true consciousness, because there exists no such influence. That's perhaps the treatment. I don't ask you if it was pure. You see, at one point I just couldn't help to go through the seven subtones. Yeah. That will happen to you. You saw that when I was in love somehow, without knowing, you went through the seven again. Yeah.
I noticed, Max, in your treatment, once you had established the influence of the divine mind in mind and picked up the influence at that point, you dropped mind as you went to each of the other seven and worked only with influence.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because we know that influence is anyway mind. Yeah. Yeah. Naturally, it's good, say, at the beginning you do that, perhaps. But as I said, as you go on, you get looser. You feel looser because influence is mind. Yeah. All right. Let's go to the next law. To the law of spirit. There again, we tried, or I tried, to summarize as exactly as possible, really, when you take the law on page 144. Again, the first paragraph starts with the second main edition, bringing out the main point of that second main edition, that there is no mingling, no adulteration of metaphysics, and then the second paragraph brings out what is the main point in the second theme in the textbook, where Mrs. Eddy brings out again that reality of spirit, the onlyness of spirit, and so I try to summarize that law by saying that the nature of spirit is the only real nature. Animal nature is a negation. See, it seems that here Mrs. Eddy has chosen as the subject of spirit the idea of reality, of the real nature of things. And we could ask ourselves, why on earth has she chosen that for the chapter Animal Magnetism? Because in the other chapters, you know that she chooses as a second subject different ideas of spirit. In the chapter on prayer, she chooses the spiritual qualities like gratitude. In the chapter on Atonement and Eucharist, she used the quality of separation. In the chapter on marriage, the second subject is really the uniting of the female and male qualities in one union. And so in each further chapter, Mrs. Eddy brings out spirit through different ideas. Here, she brings it out through reality. Why? Why should reality be a specific idea that applies to handling evil, to handling animal magnetism? And the point is that she has to bring out in this chapter, really, that animal magnetism wants to be taken as real, whereas in fact it is unreal. Or you can only handle, therefore, the claim of animal magnetism through the question of reality. Is it real? Is it not real? So in the later chapters, she doesn't bring up again the question of reality when she goes through the subject of spirit. Do you know where I am in my thoughts? Could you follow where I am? I am in the 16th chapter of the textbook. And therefore, so we somehow have to see why on earth she chooses exactly this. Why didn't she choose birth, the birth of spirit? Why didn't she choose the unfoldment of spirit? You see? Or the order of spirit? Why, for heaven's sake, reality? Well, because this is the great point of annual magnetism about spirit. It is not that animal magnetism unfolds or does not unfold. This is not the question. Is it about animal magnetism? I mean the deeper sense. It is not the question about what else can we take, if it is ordered or disordered. But the question is animal magnetism something or isn't it something? Is it real or is it not real? Yeah? So you see that the place value of the idea reality comes really very near, or is nearest to the question, what is animal magnetism? Animal magnetism is unreal. So, spirit would now tell us that the spiritual nature alone is real, and that therefore any other nature, be it animal nature or be it physical nature, material nature, is not real. So we have that law that the nature of spirit is the only real nature. Animal nature is a negation. Now who would like to give us a nice treatment about this law? All right, so we do it together for a while, just to find out if you would know how to do it. What would you see about the reality of spirit, and you consider that reality of spirit from the point of view of mind? What would you see in your treatment about the reality of spirit? Now you can really use your ability to blend ideas that we have been exercising at the beginning of this week. Yeah. Would you make a whole sentence?
The reality of spirit consists of ideas of divine mind.
The reality of spirit, yes, consists of ideas of divine mind. You read that from my book.
Yes.
Good. Do you think you could tell us something which is not out of my book, but out of your big, big reservoir of ideas? Huh? No. That's a pity. So you see, you would be absolutely insecure, huh? If you want really to give you a treatment. Well, I guess this is something that is very good to know, but apparently the students don't know how to give them a treatment, huh? Or to handle a question. Huh? I guess this is why I like to make these exercises, because it has only become too known that Christian scientists study Christian science for 40 years and don't know when they are facing a problem, they don't know how to approach it. This is in no other science so. In every other science, a student after a year, two, three, knows how to use the method and to practice that method. Is that true? I think it's true. Huh? So I think we see the necessity of really being able to think by ourselves. You see, that's what I said the other hour. I said, only reading always the textbook and being only always dependent on the textbook, so that when one is facing a problem, you open the textbook and read the textbook, has really been a very negative influence. Very negative influence. because it has deprived the student of creative thinking. Whereas we should see that we can't go through life that is rather long just with 600 pages. The information in it is not big enough until we see that those 600 pages give us the fundamental laws and the method how to close the textbook, not how to open the textbook, and have an enormous reservoir of laws at our disposition with which to handle a case. So I'm glad about this frank statement, that next to the sentence from my book, you would be at loss in seeing anything further. But naturally we will heal that together and see what we can do. If the reality of spirit consists of ideas of divine mind, does the reality of spirit consist of something else about mind than just ideas? What other ideas of mind are real? Yes? All right. Therefore, if you make a sentence, what could you see? That the reality of spirit consists of... Yeah?
The ideas of...
Yeah?
All the other phenomena.
No, of mind. I mean of mind. Yeah? First, huh? We have a whole hour to do that. Huh? First, of so the reality of spirit consists of what? Of ideas of mind. What are the ideas of mind? Now, what are the ideas of mind? Yes?
Power,
law. Yeah. Is that so difficult? That you can see that the reality of spirit, the reality of spirit, not the unreality of our life, that the reality of spirit consists of power. Of mind. Yes? And you certainly begin to realize that this naturally knocks over animal magnetism, because animal magnetism says, my nature is that I have power. And we say, no, that's not real, that's unreal. And so we knock it over and say, yes, I can see that the reality of spirit consists of those wonderful idea of mind, namely of the power of mind. Of the law of mind, you said, So I suddenly begin to realize, don't I realize something terrific, that reality is of the nature of law, that it is consists of power, and now you can put in the negative, therefore, not of what? That the reality of spirit, therefore, does not consist of matter, all right. Counterfeit of mind. Not of mortal mind. Not of mortal power. Not of material power. Not of will power. See, you said power. Then you can see, therefore, the reality of spirit does not consist of the other kind of power. Therefore, not of earning power, mortal power, will power, personal power, etc., etc., etc.